Today I'd like to speak about the virtue of humility. So the gospel I'm reading, it's not from today, but from another day. The disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, St. Bridget was once permitted by God to behold in vision two ladies. One of them seemed to be full of vanity and pomp. "She is pride," said the Lord. "But this one, whom you see with her eyes modestly cast down and ready to help everyone, having God always in her heart, considering her own nothingness, is humility, and her name is Mary. Which of them will you follow?" St. Bernard stated that humility is the foundation and guardian of every virtue. Without humility, no other virtue can strike root in the soul. Every virtue will certainly depart if humility leaves. Heavenly graces can only be received by a humble heart. My dearly beloved in Christ, the Blessed Virgin Mary is the perfect model of humility. Humility begins in the heart by having a low opinion of oneself. St. Alphonsus said, "Do not believe you have made any progress in the way of perfection if you do not consider yourself the least of all and desire others to be preferred to you. Those who are great in the sight of God are little in their own eyes." Our Lady always had a low opinion of herself, and though she knew her soul was enriched with unique graces, she preferred herself to no one. This is because she knew all came from God and was not of her own individual making. Let us imitate our Lord and our Blessed Mother in the practice of humility. Knowing our weakness and nothingness, we will conquer pride and avoid judging others rashly. The remembrance of our innumerable sins and imperfections is an additional motive to practice humility. My dearly beloved in Christ, humility, which is a grace to see things as they really are, as God sees them, is fundamental not only because it's the necessary preparation for charity, but also it is the unifying principle of all the other virtues. In order to practice humility, we must understand and combat its opposite, the sin of pride. Pride is a root of all sin. It is the excessive love of our own excellence, an excessive love of self in which we place self above all else. It is a self-centered state of mind which directs one's thoughts, words, and actions. It is the greatest obstacle to union with God and to charity, which is the love of God and of our neighbor. God requires us to love him with our whole heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Self-love and pride are completely opposed to this. Either love of God or self-love will reign supreme in our soul. Only one can rule. Eventually, one will predominate and direct our life. There are only two things which keep us back from God and which can hinder and eventually choke out the growth of humility and charity. The one is an excessive care for the things of this world, and the other is sin and selfishness. By eliminating these obstacles, we allow charity to grow without hindrance, since we're naturally drawn to love God. By practicing humility, we attack those two obstacles, and thereby we're able to remove them. When we constantly try to look at ourselves and everything through the eyes of God, we will not be deceived by the false appearance of any creature, and we will realize our own nothingness and the nothingness of all things outside of God. In short, we have a choice to strive to do the will of God or to turn from him and stubbornly do things our own way, living according to our own will. In children, we see how the urge for independence, total freedom, and instant gratification strongly influence them. Sadly, this can be seen even in youth and adults. Giving in to such urges leads to a life of self-centeredness. My dearly beloved in Christ, on the other hand, those who have a strong spiritual life, a correct worldview, mature judgment and common sense, see the wisdom of following the will of God, which leads to eternal happiness. Since pride is one of the seven capital sins, it can be all pervasive in our lives unless we strive to practice humility. Every action of our life is either colored by humility or pride. In everything we do, we will either act as a humble person or as a proud one. Pride is often expressed by self-righteousness, and especially the so-called devout. They're generally quite blind to their own condition, but are ready to pass judgment on everyone else. Their very abhorrence of sin is less love of God than less love of their own moral uprightness. It's not the idea of sin that shocks them, but the idea of anyone being so weak as to commit such sins. Despite their devotion and prayers, their soul is plated with the armor of pride. My dearly beloved in Christ, there are those who have difficulty finding sins to confess, yet their souls are covered with rock-hard pride. Their souls are so entrenched in it that years of daily meditation, sacraments received, retreats made, etc., fail to remove it or even make them aware of its existence. Many say, "This isn't so," or "It can't be so." If that be the case, then how can one explain the self-justification, refusal to follow advice, readiness to blame others, carping criticism, extreme sensitivity, fault-finding and nitpicking found even among good people? They may claim they mean well, but the idol of self stands upright and untouched in the depth of their soul. Proud, self-righteous souls cannot truly advance in holiness. Sadly, even their good works are made sterile by the pride and self-centeredness that inspires them, that takes pleasure in them, and uses them to measure their sanctity and their degree of being better than their neighbor. The outlook of a humble person is the complete opposite. If we're humble, we will view our free will as one of God's greatest gifts, and will continually strive to keep from abusing it. We'll strive to fulfill the holy will of God. We should not mistake weakness, immaturity, self-consciousness, or a neurotic personality as humility. Quite the opposite. These conditions show personalities which are so wrapped up in self and their own problems that they cannot see beyond them. Indeed, many use such conditions as excuses for their lack of humility and charity. My dearly beloved in Christ, humility is a passive, submissive attitude toward the will of God, which displays itself as manner of thinking, speaking, and acting. In short, humility is a conformity of our mind to the reality that we're completely dependent upon God, and that our natural and supernatural gifts have been given to us by him, and that all good actions come from him and his grace, not from our own ability alone. Of ourselves, we have nothing and we are nothing. We're left with only one thing that we can call our own, our sins. We depend upon God so completely and fully that if for a single moment he left us to ourself, we would cease to exist. If we're humble, we'll acknowledge these facts in our daily life and in our relationship to God and realize how much we owe Him. My dearly beloved in Christ, simply put, the virtue of humility is keeping our proper place in respect to God and our neighbor. If we do not have a deep reverence for God, we do not have humility. Sanctity lies in the combination of love and reverence toward God, both familiarity and filial fear of the Lord. The saints saw God for what He is and viewed themselves as nothing compared to God, their Creator. Because of this, they thought of nothing of themselves and preferred others to themselves. Some of the saints have defined humility as a contempt of self. They do not mean to imply that the virtue consists simply and solely in despising ourselves for no apparent reason, much less in ignoring or denying our qualities. They mean that if we see ourselves in comparison with God, the only good, we see ourselves as nothing, as despicable. You either love God unto the contempt of self, or love self unto the contempt of God. In other words, you must either be humble and have charity, or be proud and be deficient in charity. My dearly beloved in Christ, St. Augustine said, humility is the foundation of all the other virtues. Hence, in the soul in which this virtue does not exist, there cannot be any other virtue except in mere appearance. Similarly, it's the best disposition to receive divine gifts, celestial gifts, gifts from God in heaven. Finally, it's so necessary for perfection that among all the ways to reach it, the first is humility, the second is humility, and the third is humility. And he said, and if I were asked about it 100 times, I'd still give the same answer. So before the closing story, just mention the words of St. John Joseph Calasanctius. He said, if you desire to be holy, be humble. If you desire to be very holy, be very humble. This is a story which took place on the northern shore of Cornwall, which sums up the very essence of humility. In 1696, a lighthouse was built there, and the builder of it gave it the proud inscription, "Roar, ye winds! Rise, O sea! Burst forth, you elements, and test my work." But lighthouse and inscription didn't last long. After 4 years, the proud structure collapsed one night during a hurricane. The famous engineer built another house, lighthouse, upon the same spot. It was destroyed by fire. A third builder erected a new lighthouse from the rocks of the reef, and in its foundation stone, he chiseled the words of Psalm 126. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. This lighthouse is still standing today and has shown the way to thousands on stormy and dreadful nights. During our lives, we must build our spiritual structure in our soul. And in building this structure, we too shall work in vain if the Lord does not build the house with His grace and help. If, in our pride, we do not choose Him as our builder. St. Augustine says, if you intend to erect a high structure of perfection, first think of the foundation of humility. Otherwise, in the hour of temptation, the whole structure will collapse, just as that first lighthouse of Cornwall, the one with the proud inscription. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.